We have been looking in the past couple of weeks again, just really understanding what it is to be in Christ, how to live in the reality of being in His faith. That's crucial. And also how to understand how Jesus modeled His lifestyle of being in agreement with His Father, but also He has shown us how to recognize where God is working in someone else's life when you see faith in them and the power of agreement when it comes to praying in the name of Jesus, where two or three come in His name. And there's agreement, because remember, faith is hearing from God, and when you hear from God and someone hears from God and you recognize that, you can get into agreement in His name. And we see how God says, whatever you ask in My name, I'll do it. And so we've been learning a lot about a very effective prayer, very powerful prayer, to see the fruit of being in agreement with God. And the question was, is God in agreement with us? That's what we are busy asking all the time. Many times we can have plans, but is God in agreement with us? So we want to live in agreement, and Jesus modeled that for us. And praise God, we have the Holy Spirit to help us to keep in step with Him so that we can live a life in agreement. So the question is, that we're looking at this morning is, why have so many believers this year experienced the incredible pruning activity of our Heavenly Father? I don't know a year that has been so intense in the pruning process. And no matter who you speak to as believers, they will always come and say, this year I've been pruned. And I think many of us can testify to that. But what is God up to? See, because He doesn't just prune. So to say from the very beginning, if you are a child of God, you cannot escape the Father's pruning. You and I are going to be pruned. That's just the bottom line. And so we want to just get a better picture of why that takes place. So Father, this morning, as we just spend a little bit of time, and by Your Holy Spirit, You share with us one aspect, only just one small aspect that's very powerful and far-reaching of why You have been pruning us this year. We want to embrace, we want to yield to Your fatherhood. We want to yield to Your ability to prune us in such a beautiful way that with Your expertise, with Your wisdom, with Your skill, You know what You're doing. And it's such a joy for us to be able to surrender to Your incredible fatherhood in our lives. So we thank You. Father, we do ask the times when we resist, when the times when we're battling, we don't quite understand what's taking place. Thank You for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as You share with us the very thoughts of the Father and make it known, that we can just have an understanding and find it much easier to surrender to the pruning process from our Father. So this morning, just open up something for us again that we can grasp and understand and embrace the reason why You are busy pruning us so intensely this time. And we ask not only for ourselves, but Lord God, throughout this world, nations upon nations, Your family all over is experiencing something because of what You've got ahead, that You wanted to take the family of God, Your family, into. So this we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So who's been pruned this year? Who is still being in the process? Yeah. It's been quite a journey, eh? Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm just to give it a starting point, the well-known portion in John 15, where we read that portion where Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He says, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and that's important because He's the true vine. That's Israel often in the prophetic books often God spoke to Israel as the vine. But most of the times when God spoke to Israel as the vine, it was in the context of being judged and burnt because they were unfaithful. They were neglecting, they were worshipping other gods, etc. And they failed miserably. And then comes Jesus and says, you failed. I am the true vine. Because now Jesus is again bringing in the reality of the new covenant. He's bringing in something that mankind failed. And he says, I am the true vine. I remain faithful to my Father. So in me, that's what's always in him. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. So it explains what's taking place. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And here, I'm not going to go into this, but here we have the word cut off can be to lift up or to cut off. And people are divided in what the right wording is here in this context. But anyway, he says over here, he cuts off every branch in me. That's interesting because it's in him. These are believers who are in him. And we see the Father cuts off or lifts up, depends on how you want him to interpret it. But we need to look at the total picture because he starts to speak about being burnt just like Israel was in their disobedience. They were taken into captivity and so forth. And then he says over here, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean. Remember, the word of God cleanses us. They received the word of God. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And therefore he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. It's interesting that he says that, remain in me, because is there a possibility not to remain in him? That he has to keep on repeating, remain in me. Okay. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he carries on and he speaks much about, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch thrown away, and with this, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, yeah, again, is that powerful agreement. A love for God and the obedience. If you love me, you'll obey me. So you see this powerful agreement. His word is in us. We're in agreement with his word. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So we just see as an introduction that the Father is pruning and there's a purpose so that we can bear more fruit. We are in Christ Jesus. So what is the fruit? The fruit is the manifestation of the life of Jesus. It's his works. It's who he is. We display that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so the pruning is all about the displaying through our lives the incredible life of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that may look like and the way it manifests through our lives. So that's just the general reality of why you and I are experiencing a pruning. Because we have to ask ourselves, broadly speaking, the family of God, the body of Christ in this nation, is the fruit of Jesus pretty tangible or not? And we've got to be honest, and that's why the Father is pruning his family in this nation, so that this nation will begin to know who the real God is and the Son Jesus Christ. And so there's a big thing that God is busy doing in our lives, but we're going to bring it back to our towns and our cities, wherever we may be staying. And so we notice here something very profound that Jesus is saying. Now, one of the things that we see there where Jesus in John 14 and he shares something about the Holy Spirit. He gives us an understanding of what it means to remain in Him. It gives us an understanding of what it means for Christ to remain in us and us to remain in Him. So when He promises, or in the first few verses there where Jesus speaks about the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, and the works that I'm doing, the fruit, look at the fruit of my life. It's revealing who my Father is. It's revealing the very essence of who my Father is. And John chapter 1, it's fascinating where Jesus prays and He says, Father, I have revealed Your name to them. Because the name, they knew the name God. The whole Old Testament, everybody knew the name God. But Jesus came to reveal who this God is. The name of who He is was made known. The very essence of God was made known in the life of Jesus. That's the fruit that we're talking about. Okay. And so here we start to see Jesus is explaining of when I go, the Holy Spirit will, I'll ask the Holy Spirit, He'll come and make His dwelling in you. And when He comes, then you will realize the revelation that I am in the Father is in me, and we've come to make our dwelling. So again, just before we carry on, how do you and I know whether we are in Christ or not? How do we know whether we are abiding in Christ or not? We know it because of the Holy Spirit in us. And if the Father is real, if Christ is real, then we know that we are in Him and He is in us. Because that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's a very important question to ask people all around you. Because many people are saying they are believers, they believers. But do they know the Father? Do they know the Son? Because the Spirit will make it real to them. If that is the case, then they are in Christ. If that's not the case, they're not in Christ yet. Okay, then share the gospel so they can get born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's important to take what Jesus is saying over here. In that John 17, let me just read this quickly. After Jesus said, verse 1, He looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. I was just sharing with Eddie the other day. I'm reading this and I said, I want to pray this prayer. I want to ask Father to glorify me so that I may bring Him glory. In other words, I want to ask the Father to prune me so that I'll bear more fruit, the fruit of Jesus in my life. And I said, but I don't trust myself because I know I will try and take the glory. So I need to be pruned in that area because no matter what, after a while, you know, I put my name to it. You see, the Father must prune us so that He alone, this is to the Father's will, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And then I said, Father, I want to be able to come and say, Father, glorify Sasselberg so that Sasselberg can glorify You. Prune us. Then I said, Father, glorify South Africa so that South Africa can glorify You. Come and prune us. So, our nation will be pruned because we've asked in agreement in the name of Jesus. And so, let's enjoy being pruned because it's for the Father's glory that we as His children will be able to glorify Him. And so He says over here, glorify Your Son that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. This is going to be a very important truth for us today. For You have granted Him authority over all people that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. And then He describes, now this is eternal life, that they may know, this is this intimate knowing by the Holy Spirit, that You, the only true God and the only true Jesus Christ whom You have sent. And I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work. Okay, this is to my Father's will that You bear much fruit. It brings Him glory. Completing the work You gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in Your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And then I have revealed you to those who, I've revealed your name is what the Greek says, to you whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them, and knew with certainty that I come from you, and believed that you have sent me. So here we notice something very important, that Jesus says, Father, you have given me authority over all humanity. You have given me authority over all nations. I've asked for the nations, Psalm 2 verse 8. I've asked for the nations as my inheritance. You have given me the authority over all humanity to be able to give them eternal life. Jesus says in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is one aspect of that all authority. There's much, much more. And so now, one of the questions that I think will be wise to ask ourselves is today, Father, Jesus, show me the working of your authority in this town. Let me see your authority at work here this morning amongst us. What's your authority? What's your authority doing? And as we start to ask the Holy Spirit these questions, you will start to see, you'll start to recognize, this is what Jesus' authority is up to today. And that's the invitation for us to partner with him, to be involved with him, to whether it's intercession or whether it's good works, whatever it may be. But now we're becoming conscious that all authority has been, and this authority is that Jesus, the Father, has given people to his Son, and his Son is the one that gives us eternal life. That's profound, because you and I are sitting here this morning, and you can say to yourself, realize, but Father, you gave me to your Son Jesus, and your Son was the one that has given me eternal life. The authority of Christ broke through in my life and destroyed the power of sin, etc., has given me eternal life. And this is eternal life, to know you and your Son Jesus Christ. That's important, because the Great Commission we're focusing on, all authority, therefore go and make disciples. So we've got to understand that one aspect of the authority of Jesus, as we look at our town, at our schools, where we're working, wherever we may be, we've got to realize that part of this amazing authority of Jesus is his ability to give eternal life. Nothing is impossible with God for those who believe. See, he wants us to believe that he has the authority to give eternal life. He's wanting us to believe that his Father said, I so love the world that I'm sending my Son Jesus Christ. The world, the world, the world. He wants us to believe that when he made covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, that all nations will be blessed through you. He wants us to believe that God loves the nations. He wants us to believe when Jesus asked him, Father, the nations is my inheritance. He wants us to believe that the Father has given the nations to his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to believe that it's the will of God for all nations to be saved. He wants us to believe that the Father, Jesus said, the Father speaking in his Son, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. He wants us to believe this is the Father's will. He wants us to believe that we can come in the name of Jesus, because he has the authority to give eternal life. He wants us to believe this. He wants us to be in agreement with him in prayer and faith, to be able to, in evangelism, to be able to go and walk in the fact that we're in agreement with him. He wants us to believe this. He wants us to believe that the most impossible situation that you and I see in people's lives, he wants us to believe that Jesus has the authority to give that person eternal life. There's no one outside that. He wants us to believe this. He wants us to renew our mind to our neighbors. He wants us to renew our mind to the people that we associate with. He wants us to believe this. This is the part of us being in agreement with him. See, if we're honest, we need to repent. See, If we're honest and we want to be in agreement with our Lord Jesus Christ today, we need to repent because, oh God, I've lost hope that you're ever able to save them. I'm not even interested in praying for my neighbors or whoever and ever. Oh, I'm not even bothered. It's just about me all the time. We need to repent. That's not the will of God. That's not in agreement with God. And therefore, he's pruning, dealing with all this stuff that is preventing us from being fruitful. So, it's good to embrace the fatherhood of God because he's fathering us as his children. And sometimes the discipline is necessary for you and I because he loves the world. Doesn't want anyone to perish. He really loves the people. He's really busy helping us over here. So we have this amazing word that our Lord Jesus gives to you and I. I have revealed you to those you have given me out of this world. And it's a big question because we're asking ourselves as a family of God, as a children of God, are we revealing? We speak about the name. We speak about the name Jesus. We pray in his name. We live in his name, whatever. But as the world beginning to experience his essence, who he is, through our lives. And this is part of the pruning process. So the way we live, the way we think, and please, guys, you've got to take this as a serious warning. We're about to enter into the most intense battle of the mind. Please embrace the truths, the helmet of salvation. Please put on the full armor. Be strong in him. Be strong in him. As I said, the last thing the devil wants is for you and I to be in agreement with truth. And the attack's going to be to get us out of truth and mess around with our mind. Don't entertain anything that is not in agreement with Jesus Christ. Don't be offended. It's not in agreement. Don't be anxious about anything. Not in agreement because he's given us a solution. With all things, give him thanks and praise in your heart. Apply the truth. Many, many things now. Be aware that we are about to hit such an onslaught by the enemy to try and prevent us from walking in agreement. The last thing the devil wants is for us to be in agreement with him concerning the people of our town, our nations. And that he doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want the kingdom of God to manifest. He wants his kingdom to continue forever and ever. So be aware of these things, and this is why the pruning, the tone, everything you're going to hear, there's a word that the Father is sharing to us, because we cannot, just another Sunday or just another. No, this is beyond that now. This is the time where the Father is really just addressing in our areas in our lives to make us aware. So I want to go to Acts chapter 17. And again, it's a well-known portion, but it's very relevant for us. Here, Paul is busy preaching there in Athens. And he realizes how religious they are and they're worshiping this unknown God. And then in verse 24, then God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Very important. Yeah, we see that God gives all men life. He gives all men breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation. Once again, now he starts to speak about nations. Every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. The reason for this, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out, or the word is to discover him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own posts have said, we are his offspring. Now, I asked the question before we began to sing. I said, consider this. What is your date of birth? What's the date of the birth of the person sitting next to you or around you? Why is that important? It's for us to realize that God, at a specific time, gave us life to be in a specific place for a specific purpose. Very important. So now, when we start to realize, God, I'm living in this time because this is the time that you have purposed for me to be living in. Now we start looking at our neighbors and we realize, but they are living in this town. They are living in this street. We look at the people at the schools and the workplace. We look at everyone and we realize, but God, you determined for them to be living at this time. You've determined for them to be living in this town or this city or in this nation. It was you that has determined these things. And the reason for this is that we will discover you. We will begin to search. We will begin to hunger. We will begin to look and seek for you. All of a sudden, that's huge. Because now you start to realize that the very neighbor next to us, God has placed it for them to search and find God. All of a sudden, now we start to realize they're not just a bother, but now God, by your Holy Spirit, revealed Jesus Christ to them. Now we're going to start to pray for our neighbors. Now we're going to start to be involved with whatever what God wants to do in order for the people of our town to begin to really find God, as God breaks through into their lives by the Holy Spirit. So now we're not going to be complaining about the town anymore. We're no longer complaining about the municipality government. We're no longer be complaining about this and this and that there. Because every single person living in this town, or the towns that you and I live in, God has placed there for a purpose to find him. God has to prune the self-centeredness about me, 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 me. And to realize there's a kingdom. To realize God loves all people. He sent his son. And for us to begin to renew our mind and to start to realize this is, we live for this now. To see his kingdom manifest. The kingdom of God. And it's not about our own selves. So the town you're living in, the town that you and I live in, we've got to understand that our destiny and the destiny of the people living is connected to the place that we're staying in. Because God brought them here in order for them to be saved. And all of a sudden we start to appreciate our town. We start to appreciate why we're here. And all of a sudden we start to realize that darkness seems to be ruling. That cannot longer start. We are the children of light. Now we start to not compromise with darkness anymore. Now we're saying no more. All authority has been given to Jesus. Now let's start to walk in his name. Let's start to deal with the things that is not of him. And advance his kingdom. Forceful men and women take hold of the kingdom of God. This forceful is people that have got a passion for God. That's what this forceful means. Zealous for him. Burning for him, not compromising with darkness. The other day I'm busy just walking with the Lord and speaking about certain things, and again, He was sharing with me another reason of the pruning in the body of Christ. And He started to share, because it's about us who are in Christ that is being pruned, not dealing with the unsaved, for us as children of God. And Jesus, John chapter 1 verse 5, we see there, or verse 4 also, that Jesus is life. He is light. We see there that this incredible light, the darkness cannot overcome it. So we see that Jesus, His light is more powerful than this darkness. And He says there that all authority has been given to Him. So I'm saying, but Lord, if I look around, it's like darkness has so much authority, but You said that darkness has not overcome the light. All authority has been given to You. And as I'm praying into this, it's just not nice, but as I'm praying into this, to get a revelation of us as believers who fit into a category when Jesus says, those who are for Me are for Me. Those who are not for Me scatter. And I began to see more and more the reality of this, what He's sharing about being in agreement with Him, walking and living in agreement as He and the Father were walking and lived in agreement. And I began to see that as believers, we are scattering. Because we compromise, we participate with darkness. And Jesus says, darkness has not overcome Me. I've overcome darkness. Jesus speaks to His disciples there in John 16, or I think it's 15, where Jesus says over there, take heart, in this world, you're going to face many trials and tribulations, but take heart because I've overcome this world. And I'm saying, but Lord, we as believers, we have to make a stand now. It's like we're at the crossroads where we cannot just compromise with darkness and participate with darkness because you've overcome, I've got to be in agreement with You. I can't live out of agreement when You say that You've overcome darkness. I cannot participate in my thoughts or whatever it may be with darkness. Pruning. Serious pruning. We come to reveal His name. As the Father has sent Me, so I've sent You into this world. We've come to reveal His name. So we're in a place where everybody in this town, that you're staying in, or the city, or this nation, every business, every school, every university, every hospital, every police station, every political party, everybody that's associated in the town and the nation, we've got to look now and say, God, You've placed them in this place so that they can find You. And it's going to wake up a prayer for their salvation. It's going to wake up that now we look at things differently. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as I conclude, let me just read that. Again, there's a lot of different interpretations to this. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul is saying over here, for Christ's love, in other words, this love of Jesus Christ is the energy that compels us. It's a power. It drives us to do the ministry that we're doing. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. For one died for all, therefore all died. Now, if I'm a Calvinist, I interpret it this way, that one died for all, there's God who's already predestined to be saved. But I'm not a Calvinist, because it carries on there that in Christ, God was in His Son, Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back to Himself. So here we see the work is done by Jesus Christ. He's died for all. Obviously, by faith you receive to be able to receive what Christ has done, to be able to have eternal life. But our starting point is to realize, but Jesus, you've already paid the price in total fulfillment. It's done. Okay? And then that's why he carries on and he says over here, so from now on we regard, from now on from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we are in Him. He is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. One of the ways of just quickly understanding a little bit better of what it means to be in Christ. What does it mean to you when you say, I live in Sasolburg? Or I live in South Africa? You are living based on what's available, how the systems, all that working. But now we are in Him. Same. We are living a life based on the reality of who He is, the kingdom ways, etc. So it's just a way to start to realize, as I say, I live in so-and-so, I practice in that, I work in whatever it may be, you practice all those rules and regulations, but now I'm in Christ, and now I live based on His life. How do I live? By the Holy Spirit. So that's just, so He speaks over here, and then he carries on and he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ Jesus, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God who made Him, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We are in the place where we are because God loves the people all around us. We are saved because the Father gave us to His Son Jesus, and His Son gave us eternal life. Authority. Only Christ could give us eternal life. Nobody else could. The authority of this. He has paid the price for all. Unless the Father draws, nothing. They won't be able to receive. They've got to be born again by the Holy Spirit. But He invites us to pray. He invites us to share. He says, God, who in His Son reconciling the world back to Himself, likewise now we have been commissioned in the ministry and the message of reconciliation for this world in that area. So, you might not like to hear this. Seek the will of God. Whether you should leave a town and go to another town or not. Seek the will of God, whether you should go to another country or not. Because your destiny is linked to the place He has placed you in. And if He says go, then you go, because your destiny is linked to that place where He's sending you to. Because there are people there that God has placed in that town or that city or that nation that is connected to you being there to be able to share the gospel to them in one way or the other. This is why we don't just leave. We don't just disappear unless God says so. Because we know that God set the place, He set the time for you and I to be where we are so that men will search and discover Him. Let's be in agreement with Him. So seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in there. So everybody that's connected, for instance, here to the ministry over here, you are connected. Your destiny is connected to you because God loves the people of our town. Some of you are staying in Vereeniging and Van der Bijl. You are connected here because God loves the people in Van der Bijl and Vereeniging. And what God is releasing here is for you to release and to be involved in the destiny there with your neighbors there that need salvation. You're in the town because God is predestined, determined for you and I to be in that town at this time. Many, many testimonies are coming through now where people have left fruitful ministries, have left South Africa, and they've gone there and their ministry has dried up because their destiny was connected to staying in South Africa, not overseas. Many, many, many. I was listening to a powerful testimony of Eben Roberts, the guy that was involved in the Welsh revival. Mighty move of God. From the age of 12, he was praying for the Holy Spirit to be poured out over the nation. And he's praying and he's praying. His friends will say to him, come, let's go and play soccer. He says, no, I can't. Because if I go, I might miss out what God's going to be pouring out His Spirit. And he was so dedicated for years. And then the Welsh revival took place. Powerful move of God. Lives changed. The nation changed. As we know the stories there where the donkeys refused to work in the mine because they weren't used to polite words. They only knew the swear words as the commands. It was such a radical transformation. And then someone came from England and said to him, listen, this is not of God. This is not of God. You've been deceived. And this person kept on sharing, and eventually he believed this person. And this person said, you must come to England. Don't be over here. They don't accept you, whatever. But the move of God has taken place. He said, this person said, you need to repent and come to England because no, this is not of God. And so he believed. This person went to England, repented, prayed, oh God, forgive me for this. I've deceived all these people and all that over there. And nothing happened in England. He just, nothing. It was dry. His father dies eventually, and then he goes back to Wales to go and visit his father's grave, just to go and back to the family there. And as he comes onto the land, he then meets some of his old friends from the church that he was at. And it wasn't long when people somehow knew he's here. And people started to come and say, come, won't you pray for this? My daughter's dying. And he would just be polite because he was so, this was all deception. But he would go just, and he would pray and that person's healed. People were just being saved. And his destiny was connected to that country, not to England. And this is why we keep in step. Let's be in agreement. We can seek comfort or we can seek the reality of being involved in someone's eternal destiny. And staying in the town or the city or the nation that God's placed us in. So, that's why He's pruning us. And now you're going to need a pastor to come and comfort you all. But we're in war. I'm telling you, I hope that the Holy Spirit shows you the battle that we are in at the moment for the lives of people. Remember, he does not want you and I to be in agreement with Jesus Christ. Not at all. That's his master plan all the time. From the time of Adam and Eve, to get them out of agreement, he hasn't stopped. That's why, remain in him. Amen. Yeah. Father, we want to thank you for pruning us. Because we know that it's not just about us. But you're pruning so that the very life, the very fullness of Christ, the very essence of him, what he has done and who he is, can be seen in and through our lives as we participate with you, Holy Spirit, to touch so many people's lives. And as I'm sharing this, people might think, oh, there's no fun, there's going to be no joy. No, that's deception. There's a lot of fun and a lot of joy. You've gifted us and given us so many talents to be out wherever we are, to be able to just let your very radiance, your very essence be experienced by people in whatever way it may be. So thank you, Father. I want to thank you this morning for the incredible talents that you've given, whether it's in sports or acting or drama or technology, whatever it may be. We just embrace these things, Lord God, because you placed us in a time. Technology wasn't something that caught you by surprise. You placed us here at a time. You equipped us. We want to thank you for that. And I want to ask, Lord, particularly for the young folk here this morning that are still studying, and I ask that the Holy Spirit, you will share with them the reason and purpose and open it up there so that there's no dragging of feet, but they will embrace what you were busy doing and why they live in a town, why they live in a nation that you've placed us in. That you open up kingdom vision and just open it up, Holy Spirit, in a way that gives each one such purpose for living, such a sense of destiny and why they are living at this particular time. And I'm asking, Father, that there will be such a celebration of birthdays because it's realizing that at that specific time, that specific day, it was you who came and given us life and brought us into this world. And we want to marvel at that. And we thank you. So thank you for the towns that we are living in, the cities that we are living in. Thank you for the regions, the provinces. Thank you for the nation that you placed us in. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, as we participate, as we have the communion and we just participate with you, Jesus, we want to ask that you will show us more and more your authority in giving eternal life. Show us, Father, who you have given to your Son and help us to be so involved in sharing the gospel in whatever way that may take place. And this we ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.